Hey there, and welcome to Off Curve. I am Steve Lubitz, aka Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from the train station. And it is Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. We have a lot to talk about because, in case you haven't heard, there's an expansion coming. And, oh, I'm so excited. Let's hold off for a second. We'll all show some self-restraint. let's talk about ladder first, because that's what we do. So we're 8 days into the season. I am comfortably between ranks 10 and 5. I hit rank 10 Friday night with some combination of Big Priest, and I ended up like getting a friend quest, like an 80 gold quest, like right before the last game to get me over the rank 10 floor. And I was playing, like, usually when I do the 80 gold quests, I'll pick a weird deck that I wouldn't normally play on ladder and play that, because that's my opportunity to do it. So there's this control warlock, big warlock, I think is what it was at the time, that it just runs like Bright-Eyed Scouts and like a lot of the big druid stuff. But it's a warlock, a control warlock deck, so it runs Defile and spell damage and all that kind of stuff. And so I'd gotten an 80 gold quest, and then I forgot to change my deck back before I went back on ladder. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm doing my rank 10 final boss with this janky warlock deck. But it worked out. So I played that a little bit more. It didn't quite hold up after that one game. And I eventually ended up just playing Big Druid. I've been trying Big Druid off and on this season. I've been trying Tempo Rogue, like really valiantly trying Tempo Rogue, and I don't know if it's just like a mental block that I have. And I have this problem with mid-range Shaman back in the Karazhan meta, which is what this kind of reminds me of, where I there's something about that deck that I just cannot grok. And when there's like the undisputed best deck and you lose with it, I feel like it feels so much worse. So I'm not doing that. I tried a little bit of Warlock, just a clear Warlock quest, and that didn't go so great. Zoo, rather. And then, so I've been playing Big Druid, and Zalay has a list that I've been tinkering with that just takes out all the janky cards for just more dragons. So it runs Ysera, it runs Maligos, and by the way, getting Maligos to stick, which is not hard, to get Maligos to stick for a turn, and then swiping immediately after that, so basically hitting one minion for 9 and then the rest of the board for 6, is pretty fun. The whole not drawing ramp and then not doing anything for 6 turns sometimes is less fun, but some of the things that deck lets you do are just bananas. And I crafted Kuhn for it. It was kind of one of the ones that I didn't pull back in Gadgetzan, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just do it. I've had pretty good luck pulling legendaries. I pulled Valyra and Uther over the last couple weeks, so I'm okay. Like, I can handle that. So I was up as high as rank 7. I'm back down to rank 9. You know, that happens, especially this early in the month. So I'm hoping to get myself to rank 5 by the weekend so that I can decide if I'm going to push or not. We'll see. We'll see how good I feel Big Druid is treating me. By the way, now that Twitter has 280 characters, one of the things I'm thinking about doing, now that you can put a deck list link, deck code rather, in with a tweet explaining it, I was thinking about using the Off Curve account in addition to new episode announcements to post some of the decks that I'm trying out with codes, just to not clutter up my main Twitter account, but and kind of give you a place where you can go and look at all the stuff that I'm trying. If that is something that's interests you, please let me know. I don't want to clutter that account up if it's going to be make the account generally less useful, but if that's something that people are interested in, I'm willing to embrace the 280 character new world order in order to add that as a value to you folks, if that is something that will be valuable. But enough about me blathering about me. Let's talk about Kobolds and Catacombs, because it's going to be a long month until that comes out. Okay, so let's talk some Kobolds and Catacombs. I was very, like I said last week, like I would keep an open mind, but I was very nervous that this was going to be a pirate-themed expansion, because I was just not up for that. I think a lot of us weren't, and a lot of the leaks that came around the big fishing contest or whatever, that some people were starting to read the wrong thing into, and I'm glad they did, because I was really pleasantly surprised, both by the tone of the expansion, and, like, the setting, and also some of the things they're doing with the cards. So, I don't know if I've talked about this on this show. I know I talked about it with Andrew on the Happy Hearthstone. But I don't come from a Warcraft background. Like, I played Warcraft 3 way back when, and I remember very little from it, as I'm finding out now trying to replay it a little bit recently. My way that I've gotten into Blizzard was very much from Diablo. I was a really hardcore Diablo fan way back when. Like, I got Diablo, the original Diablo, like, when I got my computer that I was going to take with me to college, like, my senior year of high school, and I just played the living hell out of it. And, like, Diablo 2 was something that my wife and I, when we were dating, would play together. And then Diablo 3 came out, and we bought that on, like, 4 different platforms. Like, or we bought the game and the expansion twice, you know, once on the computer, and then we would take turns playing it. And then we bought it again for the PlayStation, and then the PlayStation 3, and then the PlayStation 4 to co-op it. Because, like, that's just our thing. Like, we put easily, my wife and I, like, hundreds of hours into Diablo over the years. So, like, I don't know anything about kobolds from, like, a Warcraft perspective. But I'm looking at this, and this is Diablo in Hearthstone, and I could not be happier. Like, the idea, and if you missed the announcement, the idea is that it's like an old school dungeon quest, right? Like every fantasy game ever, where you start out killing the rats and the kobolds are down there, and they're like the treasure gatherers. I don't know, they keep candles on their heads and something, I don't know. I honestly don't know the lore. I really don't. I got what I got from the announcement. You should go watch it. But the idea of a dungeon crawler within Hearthstone, including a single player mode, by the way, which I'm so excited about, because roguelikes are completely my thing. And the fact that they're putting in this single player dungeon run mode where you build a deck as you play against the bosses, and then you collect more cards as you go and try to beat successively harder bosses. And if you die, then you start over from the beginning. Like, this is, I've played card game based roguelikes before, and like Guild of Dungeoneering is a really good one, for example, and this is like, you're putting a roguelike in my Hearthstone. Like, I could not love this game anymore. I really could not. Like, I watched some of the, you can watch some of the Invitational that was at BlizzCon over the weekend. They had a couple of runs, and they capped it at 3 bosses, which is not really where the difficulty starts to spike, clearly, because the teams had no problem with it. But it looks so much fun. And they put these cards in that there's no way that they could ever put into the game proper. Like, there's one card that's a 10-mana spell called Rod of Roasting that says on it, cast Pyroblast, targets chosen randomly, until one hero dies. Like, how fun is that? Like, it's just the chill that you're going to get, like the anxiety of, oh no, well, I guess I'm losing. This is my Hail Mary. Let's do it. Oh, it looks like so much fun. And they clearly are putting a lot of effort into making this replayable, which, you know, when I had Sabriel on a few weeks ago, we were talking about the single player content for Frozen Throne, and the fact that it really like required you to have a certain set of cards. And you needed to have a certain amount of game knowledge in order to be able to complete even the lower level tiers. And the fact that they're giving you a deck to play with and making it replayable, and also providing single player content for players who are not willing or interested in playing against other people, which, by the way, there are a lot of, and I started out as one of those, believe it or not. And so just having single player content to provide those folks something to do is pretty cool too. So I'm really excited just from the flavor of the expansion, and then you get into some of the new mechanics, and that's where things really start to get interesting. So I guess one thing that we should start out with the card, since we have one that we can play with right now, which is Merin the Fox, And by the way, I'm very disappointed that it's not an anthropomorphic or animatronic fox. Like, I wanted that to be a humanoid fox, and I'm disappointed. But whatever. So, everyone gets Marin the Fox. Like, if you log in right now, if you haven't logged in yet, I imagine you have it already. It's a 6/6 for 8 that gives you a 0/8 treasure chest that has a whole bunch of cards that you break it, and then it gives the 0/8 to your opponent. And when you kill it, then you get one of these cards that, like, fills your hand with copies of a card that you draw, or draws 3 cards and reduces the cost to 0, or gives you, like, a kobold version of the Golden Monkey that just transforms your hand into legendaries. It's pretty cool. Like, I tried it in a couple of decks. I wasn't in love with it from a competitive standpoint, but not every card needs to be competitive, right? So, it's fun, and it's worth trying out if you're interested in it. But the new mechanics are really interesting in terms of, like, doing things. I always wonder what the designers are going to do that we haven't seen before, right? And because it gets harder to find just new things to do. And, like, the recruit keyword is not so much that, because we have cards that do that already, but the fact that they're going to be able to play with that in more and less targeted ways is kind of interesting. So recruit is a keyword that says basically summon a minion from your deck, so the Yashiraj effect. And there was one card that's like a 6-mana spell that just recruits a minion from your deck, just puts it into play, the battle cries don't go off. And there's a card that will recruit like a minion with cost 1-4 from your deck, so you can limit some of the variants. I don't really know where they're going with this. And it can get a little bit scary because patches and because Prince Keliseth is a card. But I'm interested in seeing where they're going with this. I don't really, you know, the early cards are never great examples of how those mechanics are going to be used. Those are usually like the least powerful because they like to save the biggest splashes for the end, right? Like they showed us Chilwind Champion for Lifesteal. And Chilwind Champion is not played, but Jaina, Frostlich Jaina sure is, and Obsidian Statue sure is. So I'm interested to see where they go with the recruit mechanic. I really do like the Spellstone mechanic, where you have spells, and it sounds like each class is going to get one, that start out with a certain power level and then get upgraded as you fulfill certain requirements while they're in your hand. So the Shaman has a 7-mana card that summons a copy of a minion in play. And it upgrades whenever you overload 3-mana crystals in a turn. So when you upgrade it, then it summons 2 for 7-mana. And then it summons 3. And I think there's just the 3 forms. There might be a 4th. But, you know, I'm thinking of, okay, well, I can play White Eyes, hopefully have it stick, then put Ancestral Spirit on it and play this card and get 3 copies of it, and that's pretty cool, right? So the druid has one that will do 2, then 4, then 6 damage to a minion for 1 mana, which is, given how much druid struggles for removal, I mean, less so with Ultimate Infestation, but they don't really have a large removal bigger than Swipe that doesn't, you know, doesn't cost 10 mana. That's a really interesting mechanic as well. So I'm interested to see where they go with that, but that's pretty cool that you can have a card that, it's interesting because it has a certain power level early in the game, and that power level can grow. Again, there's some draw RNG involved, because if you don't draw it early, and then you're never really going to be able to fulfill the requirement to get it to upgrade, but presumably you build your deck with that in mind. And the druid one is gain 3 armor, which is basically, well, have Malfurion in play. So that's pretty easy to fulfill once you get that certain requirement, because every druid deck, for the most part, is going to run Malfurion. And then the unidentified items are pretty cool, too. So Priest has a spell that gives a minion +2/+2, and then gets an additional effect of 1 of 3. I think it's like Lifesteal, or Resummon this minion when it dies, or one other one. Maybe it's Divine Shield. I don't remember off the top of my head. But you don't know what it is until you draw it. I want to see some of the other cards. That might be more of like an arena thing, depending on what the cards are. But I mean, none of the effects are bad. It's just you don't know which one you're going to get. But it's kind of a cool way to add some limited variants to the game and keep games fresh with the same set of cards. So the last thing I want to talk about are the weapons. That's kind of the draw of the set, and that's going to be like the extra legendary that we get in the set. So we got the quests with Un'Goro, and we got the Death Knights with Frozen Throne. So this time around, we're going to get one legendary minion and one legendary weapon for each class. And the legendary weapons are, you know, obviously they're going to be very powerful because you can only run one of them. So Priest has one that is a 0/3 that every time that you play three spells in a turn, you summon a 5/5 dragon, which if you're playing Raza Priest is not a hard thing to do. And, you know, Lyra makes that pretty easy as well. And Mage gets a 6-mana weapon that's a 0/3 that just says, at the end of your turn, draw 3 cards. So there was a lot of discussion over on the Discords over the weekend. Do these weapons lose durability when their effect goes off? Because you have other cards like Sword of Justice, which is the one that gives +1/+1 to a minion every time that you play it, and then it reduces its durability by 1. You have Atiesh, which is Medivh's weapon, which loses durability every time you play a spell and then summons a minion with the same cost. Gorehowl's kind of the same thing, but not really. Like, when you attack a minion, then it loses 1 durability instead of... or loses 1 attack instead of durability. That's kind of the opposite. But there are, you know, the assumption is going to be, well, if it's a weapon that you're not going to be attacking with, it must lose durability when it goes off. And I'm pretty sure it doesn't. And I believe the developers have said this. And because those cards all say that on the card text, and lose 1 durability. And these cards do not. The legendary weapons do not. And I think it's a really interesting way for the developers to address an issue that they've had with this type of card in Hearthstone before, which are like permanent auras. So the worst offender is the rogue quest, where once you've completed the quest, everything's 5/5. And that's it for like the rest of the game. And kind of like Raza the Chain's hero power, where your hero power costs 0. There's no counterplay to that. That's just, it is what it is for the rest of the game. And it feels bad, right? Like, there's no way, really, to counter Highlander Priest once they get their pieces assembled. Once Quest Rogue had finished its quest, you were just faced with this infinite barrage of 5/5s, and there was nothing you can do about it. And these are clearly powerful effects that are meant to stick around for a while, but there is counterplay there by making them weapons, because there are cards that counter weapons. You have Gluttonous Ooze, you have Harrison Jones, you have Acidic Swamp Ooze, and you make it so that some of the lesser cards like Bloodsail Corsair that runs in like half the pirate decks now, or half the Kaliseth decks, I guess, don't completely destroy it, because it needs to get rid of 3 durability. So you actually would have to be running like a full-on like weapon hate card in your deck. I would expect also that we're going to see more weapon removal. In particular, I would like to see some spells that remove weapons, because right now all of the cards that do that are battle cries on minions. And when you're playing something like Big Priest, where you want to run as few minions as possible, you have no spells that do that. So I really would like to see that there are some spells that are going to destroy weapons, and maybe some positive spells that destroy your own weapon would be interesting too. Like that would make it having to be a choice between keeping your weapon and playing that card. That might be interesting also. But I think that, you know, Magic the Gathering, at least back when I was playing it, had the concept of artifacts, which were these things that just kind of sat on the board that weren't minions and they weren't spells. They were just kind of a thing that would be there, and you would have to use a specific kind of card to get rid of it. Like Disenchant, I believe, was a card way back when that would destroy an enchantment, which was like the colored version, or an artifact, which was the colorless one. But it provided counterplay to that. And I think that by making it a weapon and not just making it some sort of new aura card, I like the idea, first of all, the flavor of like collecting treasure, right? Because that it should feel like that. But also that it's a clever way to solve the whole aura problem. And it also gives you a way to potentially do that to yourself too. Like if you're a mage and you're drawing 3 cards a turn, that's going to get old really fast if you don't kill your opponent really quickly. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see how that gets managed from the user's perspective as well. All right, so that's it for me for this week. As always, you can follow. You can find the show notes for this and every and all the episodes at offcurve.com, which is where I post some of the links to the decks that I'm playing. Again, do let me know if you want to see on the show's Twitter account at offcurve if you want me to post just decks that I'm playing, whether or not I actually talk about them on the show. To that account, let me know. But you can follow the show and send your questions in to at offcurve on Twitter if you just want to follow me and my nonsense. I'm at Wicked Good. I'm on Twitch at Wicked Good FM. You can friend me in game Wicked Good hashtag 1535. Again, just shoot me a note on Twitter or whatever and let me know that you're a listener, because I did accept a non-listener friend request by accident and promptly got told to kill myself, which was not super great. So I'd like to avoid that if I can at all. So do let me know that you're a listener. I'll make sure to accept, especially because my friends list is starting to get a little full. And I want to make sure that I'm friending actual listeners and not just people who happened to play me and I didn't see the friend request come through. And that's pretty much it. Do make sure to leave a review on iTunes. That helps people find the show. I super appreciate that. Gotten a lot of nice words recently. Would love to get some more. And that's all for this week. So until next time, have a good one.